It's good to be with you all this morning as we close the year together. I'd invite you to turn with me to Psalm 100. Just a little further on from what we read this morning. Psalm 100, very short psalm. But that'll be our launching point for the sermon this morning. Psalm 100 is a psalm of thanks, very short, just five verses. So if you've noticed, we are in an ungrateful age. It seems that everywhere we turn, someone is complaining or criticizing something or someone, especially on social media, but even around the water cooler and coffee machine in the office. Many blame others for their unhappiness, and others just simply never say thank you. Why is this? Well, there's several factors at play, obviously. There is definitely a sense of entitlement in our society that our consumerism, our individualism, and our materialism have fostered for decades. There's also a sheer arrogance that erupts from human pride, a lack of acknowledgement of our own dependence on others, and even on God. And perhaps we're just thankless because we don't know who to thank. Watched a video just last week of somebody thanking whatever God there may be. But gratitude has been commended by many thinkers and leaders over time. People have recognized that being grateful is actually a good thing. The scriptures tell us that long before any scientist or philosopher had written it down. But we read some interesting insights from G.K. Chesterton, I should say. I don't know if you know who he is, but he's a great author, poet, and philosopher. He wrote this, quote, "I would maintain that thanks are the highest form of thought, and that gratitude is happiness doubled by wonder," end quote. Good insights there. Chesterton also wrote that the most important lesson he had ever learned was whether you took things for granted or you took things with gratitude. You see, gratitude is in fact healthy. And in our modern scientific age, there have been studies to actually prove this, that it has real health benefits. If you're grateful or you give thanks often, you'll have a better heart, better sleep, better immunity, less anxiety. It even functions as an antidote to depression, and it comes with social benefits like making friends easily. That last one's not hard to figure out though, right? No one wants to hang out with Mr. Grumpy. But in contrast to our current age, you and I as Christians are to be a grateful people. Scripture doesn't just merely commend thanksgiving, it actually commands thanksgiving. And so as you and I are coming to the end of this year together, I thought it would be good to reflect and give thanks for what God has done in and among us. And now, even though our times are indeed challenging, it is by God's grace that you and I have much to be thankful for. Amen. And thank God that in Christ, we have actually been given the knowledge and the revelation of the one to give thanks to. And he has commanded us to express our thanksgiving. Now, there are two important reasons why we should be giving thanks. Number one, our thanks glorifies God, and our thanks edifies us. Those are two simple reasons that I want you to remember going forward from today. And you'll actually hear it. We even have it embedded in our vision statement. What does fellowship exist for? Uh-oh. I repeat this every Sunday morning. We exist for the glory of God and the joy of others. Right? So thanksgiving gives God glory and others and us joy. So we're going to launch off from Psalm 100. So please stand for the reading of God's word. I'll pray and we'll get into it. Thank you. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations. This is God's word. Let's pray. Lord, it is good to give thanks to you. Thank you that you are giving us that joy this morning to reflect on and to think about all of your kindnesses to us. Lord, we ask for your forgiveness, for there are times we know that we have often grumbled rather than being grateful. And so we ask, Lord, that even today, this morning, you would help us to become a more grateful people, so that we would show forth your glory and that we would truly be full of joy. Please help us now. Please help me. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, have a seat. So let's consider first that our thanksgiving gives glory to God. Now, we see this all the way through Scripture, that thanksgiving serves to glorify God. But one of the most specific parts in Scripture is Psalm 50:23, where the psalmist writes, "The one who offers thanksgiving as his sacrifice glorifies me." That's God's inspired word. That's what it does. Now, for those of you who don't know what glorify means, in the biblical sense, it means to show the weight of God's honor. And so what thanksgiving does is it assigns honor to God for all the good things that we enjoy as a manifestation of his goodness. Or we could put it quite simply, our thanksgiving puts the value on the giver, not the gift. Now, since the scripture teaches that the glory of God is the ultimate purpose of all creation, it's not surprising to see that thanksgiving was integrated into the very sacrificial system of God's ancient people. It was enshrined in the Mosaic law, and it was established in the corporate worship at the temple. And then in the New Testament, it is commanded, and we're going to look at that in just a few minutes in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. But here in Psalm 100, we read that the whole earth is called to give thanks, to make a joyful noise to the Lord. We are to come into his presence with singing and thanksgiving. And the psalmist here gives us two reasons for that. The first reason appears in verse 3. He made us. In other words, we are not our own, nor are we the result of a random collision of natural processes. We have been created by God. And for that reason alone, that our existence is derived from his eternality and goodness, we should give thanks. Then the second thing is in verse 5. For the Lord is good, and his steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations. And so the psalmist is showing that God's very nature is purely good, and his covenant love and faithfulness is enduring in every generation. Every legitimately good thing comes from him, this good and loving and faithful creator. And so this is the reason why we should be giving thanks. Because not only have we been created by a God, but we've been created by a God who is fundamentally good and whose image we bear. We see this, that God is so good that the scripture shows us that before his throne, there are going to be beings that are going to be giving thanksgiving for all eternity. We see that in Revelation chapter 4. And those who are before his throne giving thanks to God will never tire of giving thanks to him forever and ever and ever. Amen. Because out of him comes everything that we should give thanks for. And they'll never get bored of it. That's incredible. It all emanates from him. Here's the point I want us to understand. Something that the psalmist glimpses that we sometimes forget. There are no small gifts and no small graces in a world that exists only by the benevolent will of its creator. Let me say it again. There are no small gifts and no small graces in a world that exists only by the benevolent will of its creator. Because where does everything that is truly good trace its origin point from? Not chance, not luck, not probability. It comes from Him. Amen? See, sometimes we're duped into thinking things went well because I was fortunate enough this week. Scrub that from your mouth, Christian. That's a pagan idea. God is good. And the truth is that we are all here by God's grace alone. His general grace, His prevenient grace, His gift of life, the fresh air that you breathed in this morning, the coffee that you drank, the smile on your friend's face when they saw you, the warm clothes on your back, the job that you were able to work, even the car wreck that you just walked away from, and the 10,000 other mercies showered on you today all come from Him. And a grateful heart is one that actually recognizes that this reality, that everything good that comes to us is an undeserved gift because by nature we are rebels. We don't deserve these things. We don't earn them. They are benevolent gifts. And a grateful heart recognizes our dependence, not just simply on others, but on God Himself to sustain us, to bless us, and to show mercy. Now, in contrast to that, is ingratitude. It stems from our sinful nature. You see, ingratitude is an expression of a heart that actually either disregards God or hates Him. It's like a child who, after receiving his father's vast fortune, his deep love, and his great honor of his good name, says it's all useless crap. I could have done without it. As I mentioned, you and I are in an entitled age. In fact, we are in a narcissistic one. Paul warns of this to Timothy, but we see as we look around that people are lovers of self and not of God. And as such, they truly believe that they actually deserve every good thing. The problem is that sometimes we as Christians tend to think the same way. That we actually deserve good things. And yet the scripture testifies the complete opposite. Apart from God's grace, we are children of what? And yet we think we deserve good. In our society, there's very little appreciation for anything, and always a desire for more. This, by the way, is absolutely inglorious. And what it does, what ingratitude does, is it veils the truth of God's glory. And that's why ingratitude for the Christian is so antithetical to our identity. We're the ones who should know better. We know that we exist by the benevolent will of our Creator. And not only that we exist, but that we've been rescued by Him. And that every good, legitimate good thing that comes into our life, to quote John Piper, is a blood-bought privilege. Do you understand that? It all comes to you through Him. We can say it this way. Gratitude to God is the song of heaven. Grumbling is the song of hell. And some of us have been humming hell's tunes for too long. We forget it's His air we're breathing. It's His world we're living on. And it's His kindness that is meant to draw you upward. And yet what ingratitude does is it covers that reality in ignorance and rebellion. And so as those who have been transferred from darkness to light, death to life, by God's grace in Jesus Christ, you and I do have a desire to glorify him. Amen? It is there. I know we fall short time and time again, but the desire is there because he puts it in us. And one of the simplest ways to give glory to God, brothers and sisters, is very simple. Just give him thanks. And do it out loud. We have to understand, this is not merely an attitude of gratitude. It is that for sure. But it's more, it's an expression of this. How do I know? Because the Greek word for giving thanks is eucharisto. And it's not an attitude, it's a verbalizing. It's an expression, an outward expression of giving thanks to God. Whether that be spoken or sung or written or posted on social media, it gets expressed. It is a personal recognition of what you have personally received from Jesus. And this produces joy. And so let me encourage you, if you're thankful for something that God has done for you, let it out. Amen? Let it out. Give it expression. Give it its full weight. Show God's glory through your thanksgiving. Now, I want to be careful on this, because we mustn't think that God is somehow some insecure deity who's waiting for us to give thanks, or else he won't feel good about himself. You and I are like that. God is not. We do good things sometimes, and nobody says thank you, and then... God doesn't need to hear you give thanks. You know who does need to hear it? You do. You need to hear it. Which leads us to the second point. That giving thanks actually edifies us. You see, this is what makes sense now of Paul's command in Thessalonians. Now, that whole letter to the Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians, is filled with thanksgiving. And it is framed within the return of Jesus Christ. But in his letter, you guys know the verse. You can go there, actually. We might as well go there just for those who haven't seen it. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Flip there real quick. You should see this for yourselves. This is in the New Testament. 1 Thessalonians, just before Paul's letter to Timothy. There's 2, 1 and 2. But there's 1 Thessalonians 5. And he gives a whole list of commands. And it's 5:18. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. So I'll pick it up in verse 16. He says, rejoice always. Remember what rejoicing is? Verb, right? Not noun. Pray without ceasing. Okay, verse 18. Give thanks in all circumstances. And then he backs this up. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Give thanks in all circumstances. Now, this is often misunderstood as being thankful for all circumstances, even the terrible ones. But that is not the meaning. That is not actually even what it says. Look what it says again. We are called to be thankful in all circumstances, not for. Prepositions are important, and God has inspired even the prepositions, right down to the last letter. And so, you and I are to give thanks in all circumstances for what we have in Christ. And what that does is it reframes our perspective, and it lifts our hearts to our ultimate circumstances. We give thanks to God in all circumstances for what God has given to us and what he will give to us. And what is Christ given to us? Well, the list is long, but we must start first with our salvation, the very forgiveness of sins. Have you sinned this week? Did you feel it? Did you feel the weight of that sin as an offense against the God who loves you? and who created you and gave you every good thing on that day that you sinned? Did it grieve you? But then did you turn in joy and thank God for the fact that that sin cannot condemn you now? That it is covered and paid for by the shed blood of your King. Did that happen to you? You know, I thank God. Sometimes I got to be careful how I say this. I thank God I still sin. Because sometimes I get arrogant. And all of a sudden I come crashing down on my face in some sin I never even saw coming. And I get down on my face and I weep and I thank God for reminding me I still need Him. And thank God He's there to pick me up. And wash me. And renew me. And restore me. Giving thanks to God for the redemption that we have in Jesus Christ must never get old. If it does, you have lost sight of who you are and who He is. Christ has given us the forgiveness of sins and the love and the hope and the peace and the joy that come with being reconciled to God. He has given us His Spirit to comfort us, to guide us. He's given us unfettered access to God the Father. He has given us good works in advance prepared for us individually to walk in. And then He promised to work all things for our good. We should all say hallelujah. Weak sauce. Are you thankful? Thank you. And then there's what Christ will give to us. What will He give to us? Well, the first thing is a rescue from the wrath to come. There is wrath coming. A holy, justified wrath that will consume the entire universe. It will burn it down to its base elements. That's what the scripture says. That's coming. You have a rescue from that. And then you have a resurrection to an immortal life. And then you have a reunion with those who have gone before you to never be separated from them again. And then you have a reward for eternity for the things that you've just done in this life temporarily. Wow! On that alone, we should be thankful every day. On that alone. And if you and I believe these things, then they will actually be expressed. And when, this is what I want you to see, giving thanks anchors us in the promises of Jesus Christ and the goodness of God in every circumstance. And I find, I don't know if this is true of you, but I find it true in my life, the most miserable times in my life is when my thanksgiving dwindles. Does that work that way for you too? The most miserable times in my life is when I've shut my mouth and not said thanks to God. Conversely, being grateful though, that we wake every day enveloped by His grace, that actually strengthens the soul with joy. In every circumstance, even in the worst of them. No wonder the psalmist asserts that it's good to give thanks to God. It's not just that it's morally good, but it's spiritually and experientially good, even in the most difficult circumstances. Listen, I've walked alongside saints with failing health and terminal illness, cancer eating at every part of their body, full of thanksgiving, knowing a resurrection is going to be theirs in the end. I've walked with saints struggling with sin, hating it, grieving over it, fighting it, and yet still thankful that it can never condemn them in Jesus Christ. I've seen saints separated from loved ones who were murdered in front of them and thankful that they will be reunited with them forever. I've seen saints suffer at the hands of evil men thankful that God's justice is absolutely inescapable. And I've walked along saints who have been completely depleted of absolutely every iota of their strength, every drop of it, thankful, knowing that God's strength is what held them fast. That's what it means to give thanks in all circumstances for what we have in Jesus and what he will give to us. Now, even apart, though, from such difficult circumstances, you and I are to give thanks in how many circumstances? So even the good ones, right? That's where you get to practice this. That's where you get to practice this, is actually in the good ones. This requires a practice of thanksgiving. And so what do? Every Sunday, as the people of God, we come together and we give thanks to God through praise, and we thank one another and encourage one another and tell each other how God has done good things in our lives. And so this happens corporately, of course, as a church, but additionally, we need to do that with our families. Every night before I put my kids to bed, I always ask them, "What are you thankful for today, kids?" And sometimes I have to wait a while before they cough something up. But every week, every day, I ask, because we have so much to be thankful for in Christ. And then we should give thanks individually. And so by way of application, it's very quick. It's very simple. Be quick to return thanks to God, even for the small things. Yes, God will do big and glorious and amazing things in your life, but sometimes it's just really good to thank him for that nice, hot, good coffee you're drinking. Thank him always, even for the small things. This should be our practice, and it needs to be cultivated because, get this, our sinful nature will work against it always. Our sinful nature will always have a propensity to be ungrateful and to go, meh. It could always be better. But that's just your ingratitude and thanklessness and faithlessness speaking. But let's make this practical. Practically, we can cultivate gratitude by taking time to take stock at all the legitimately good things that God grants to us in his faithfulness and his goodness in your life. Yes, individually, in your family, and in your church. Just simply reflect, write it down, and then return thanks to God for those legitimately good things. Do any of you have a practice of doing that? Okay, a couple. Praise God. All of you should do this. All of you should write this down. Here's why, because I guarantee you, God has shown you millions of mercies, and you can remember only a fraction of them. So you should write some down and return thanks. Now, to help us, I want to do this quickly before we end. I want to share some of my reflections of my own regarding just this church. This is not personal reflections. This is what God has done in this church because of his grace and his kindness. And so I want to share this with you because this involves you. This is you. Okay? What has God done this year? So glad that Russ prayed some of this. But number one, we have had a record number of baptisms in one day at fellowship. Yes, praise God. Yes. And then for the whole year, we've had 26. And then on top of that, God has added 37 new members to this fellowship. Yes, give him glory. You're learning your lesson well. Express now. Our average attendance has swollen to almost 400 every Sunday. Amen. New marriages are being celebrated. Babies are being born. Give God glory for that. We were able to launch a street evangelism ministry this year, and God brought people from our community into the church. We were able to fix the building. And we continued to train and develop another missionary family for deployment, likely heading out next year. What an encouragement to see God at work among us. Amen? Amen. Amen. And we should praise him for his grace. And as I was writing this list down, I'm like, but wait, I got to go further. Let's go back 11 years to when I first got here, because there's some really amazing things that God has done. First, he's established a plurality of biblical elders in our church. Renewed the practice of the Lord's table at our weekly gatherings. Watch this. 101 souls have been baptized. 58 of those have happened in the last 3 years. We've renewed the practice of biblical membership, and we are continuing to renew it. We're reforming our missions paradigm protocol. We've sent out our first church planter to South Asia. Here's a good one. A biblical complementarianism was retained while under the assault of feminist subversion, both inside and outside the church. Oh, I'm so glad you clapped at that. Yes. A thriving co-op to educate students with a biblical worldview was established. We actually have a wait list 2 years long for it. The headship of Jesus over his church was defended under the assault of statism and the doctrinal compromise and confusion during the COVID wars, and that was done by this church. Praise the Lord. Ministries to core demographics were launched. Children, youth, men, women, young adults, and retirees were established. Praise God for that. An additional vocational pastor was called and commissioned, and we began the search for another. Mercy Ministry was established to extend tangible support to those in need in the community, and a food rescue got off the ground. I don't even know how that happened. And yet even this list, I had to stop it there because it got too long. Well, for this purpose. I cannot count the number of ways that God has worked to strengthen and guard and guide, and I haven't even touched on the personal stuff. Our cup overflows. But if we do not take stock from time to time, we will forget. And it is human nature to focus on the negative things in front of us rather than all of the goodness that God has just lavished upon us. And so let us remember our God is good and faithful, and his steadfast love endures forever. And so I want to encourage you, dear saints, very practically this season. I know it's busy. A lot of you guys are hosting and being hosted. But please take time to reflect before the new year begins. Take time to reflect, not to make resolutions, but reflections on God's grace. Look back and write down all what you remember. And I guarantee you're never going to come to the end of it, because in fact, like I've already said, you've forgotten much of the goodness and kindness that God has shown to you over the years. But reflect anyway and give thanks. Will you do it? Amen. May it be a blessing to your joy. I'll end here. I often like to sign off my letters with the phrase, for God's glory and our joy. And as I said at the beginning, it's woven into our mission statement as well. I believe that that is the heart of every saint. And so as we enter into this new year, I pray that we will all do so with gratitude, with thanksgiving for his glory and for the joy of many, with a full expectation that God will be good and faithful always. Let's pray. Father, what a joy to be able to see how kind and good you have been to this church. Lord, what a joy to see how good and kind you've been to us even this day. Thank you that every good gift is a blood-bought privilege and blessing. Jesus, thank you. Lord, I pray that we as your people would increase our gratitude so that the great weight of your glory would be seen among us. And I pray, Lord, that we would be a more joyful people even in a thankless age. Thank you again for your kindness. In your mighty name, amen.